following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
It's that time again when the world's best superlight model racers tackle the high banks of Lakers USA International Speedway in the Michael Holly Chevrolet 200, presented by Catch 47. It's the third and final race of the Guaranteed Concrete Quarter Triple Crown, and with all your favorites expected, the action will be intense. The Catch 47 presents the Michael Holly Chevrolet 200, Saturday night, September 1st. For more information, check online at usaspeedway.com. Tickets are on sale now. Call USA International Speedway at 1-800-984-7223. USA International Speedway. And you thought, your weekends go fast.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, Short Track Asphalt, Short Track Dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today. 5starbodies.com.
Bill O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA. This is O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane.
Well, Mr. Wall, it's that time again. ASA Fast Lane time, the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane. How you doing?
I'm doing a little better today. I got a cold, a summer cold that's not to kick my butt, but we'll get through it. And as long as I spray the mouthpiece on here, you won't get sick.
There you go. And the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane is brought to you, of course, by 5-Star Racing Bodies and Port City Racing and Power Master. And I'll tell you, man, without the brake man, without these people, we couldn't do this, Terry.
No. Them people have been gracious enough to come on board with us for the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane. And obviously, we want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts, too, for coming on board and giving us a shot. And we're going to have a really good show tonight, Jack. We're going to have Peter Cozzolino, one of the old guard. And when I talked to Peter today to set up the interview, I told him I promised I wouldn't call him old.
Okay. All right, I'll call him old.
Okay, you call him old, because yeah. You guys are probably about the same age. But anyway, yeah, we're going to have Peter Cozzolino, and then we're going to have a young driver named Trent Snyder on the show. And the coup de croix of the, however you say that, of the show is going to be the owner of ASA, Ron Barney.
Yeah, we're going behind the green door, man. You know, I got to tell you, Terry, we did an interview last show with Butch Miller, and It was a really, really fun interview to do. It was about 45 minutes long, and of course you can listen to it in our archives. But Jane Smith, who's a writer that's been working with me for about 10 years, has come on board to write some articles for our Real Racing USA show, and she basically takes one of our good interviews and does an article on it and gets people around the internet and around the world excited about it. And she wrote a story about the Butch Miller interview and has published it. It got published in some newspapers and all over the internet. And we got some nice comments back from people about that interview. So Jane's article comes out every Monday. It's the Jane Smith Motorsports column on right. Real Racing USA.
Real Racing USA. I'll have to go and look at that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So this week they had a race up in the ASA race, got the Northern Division back in action.
Yeah, they did. And the reason we're having Peter Cozzolino and Trent Snyder on, they had a little set too during the race, and Ron Barney suggested that we have them on and talk a little bit about their disagreement or agreement, however you want to put it.
So, Peter Cozzolino, by virtue of what happened up there this weekend up north, he is now the points leader because he was the fast qualifier, and I guess due to the rain out at the one race, he was able to just slide ahead by like 1 point.
Yeah.
Over Dave Gentile Jr. So that's interesting. It's a very tight points race over the
next. And Trent Snyder is fourth in points.
Yes. And over the next 6 weeks, it's all going to shake out in the north. There's no doubt about it. If you look at the schedule, it's all going to come down here in the next 5-6 weeks.
Yeah, and it's going to be an interesting deal. And it'll be just exciting or more exciting than the next Calcutta. I know it's going to be more exciting than that other division that we won't talk about that we were talking about earlier. I know it's going to be way more exciting than that.
Oh, it's got to be. It's got to be. So I tell you what, why don't we take a very short break here and you line all up. Right. Let's get Peter on the horn and let's go at it, man.
We'll do it.
All right.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
CarNet.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNet.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNet.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNet gets it done.
Is O'Reilly ASA Fastlane.
All right, we're back. Terry.
We have Peter on the line. Peter Cozzolino, Jack Smith. Welcome to the ASA Fastlane.
Hi, how are you all doing?
Oh, we're doing great, man.
Think of how old you are, Peter, but I promise you I wouldn't say you were old on the radio show.
Well, I'll tell you what, with all these young kids coming up, and, I mean, it seems like anymore, unless you're 17 or 18 and ready to go to Winston Cup, you don't have a chance. But at 37, I mean, it's making me feel like an old guy.
Well, I remember...
What got me beat is Hoffman and then, you know, Butch Miller when he makes his appearance.
Well, I remember quite a few years ago when you were running in the what we call the old ASA series, on the website that I manage, CarNac.com, I remember running your press releases, and you were even sponsored by Mickey D's back then.
Oh, yeah, they've been with us a lot of years. You know, it's enabled us to do a lot of things that we would never be able to do. you know, we're just real fortunate to be involved with a company like that. And, you know, A&A as well, it was with us back then. And, you know, it's nice to really keep our sponsors with us year after year, because it gives us some stability and a chance to really work on our program and improve every year.
Well, this has got to be exciting for you. I mean, you're now in the points lead in the ASA North. Not by much, but you're up there. And it's got to be exciting fighting against these youngsters, no doubt.
Oh, it is. They got a real good group up and coming. And, you know, I'm sure you'll see a couple of them in Winston Cup and Bush and Truck shortly. Every year it seems like we send one over there, and, you know, they represent us well and are real competitive. So it all around makes the series look good and makes us drivers look good, because we're running in a pretty competitive environment.
Now, Peter, go ahead and mention your crew chief and all the people that's trying to help you. I know this is like your full-time deal. You own a race shop, isn't that correct? And you build race cars? Or tell me exactly what you got going on there in Indianapolis.
Well, I mean, the reality is, you know, everything we do here is all based around keeping the race team going. And, you know, we've got a real good sponsor, but it still only covers half our budget. And, you know, it's, you know, really anything we can do to, you know, make cash flow through the doors. And, you know, we've got an eBay store where we sell a lot of used race parts. We do a lot of custom fabrication here as well. We run our chassis dyno daily with, you know, everything from street stuff to full-blown, you know, we've had Indy Pro Series cars on there. You know, it keeps us busy and keeps the doors open, basically. It's not cheap to run one of these programs in this day and age, as everybody knows. And,
yeah,
you know, you got to do a lot of other things other than just race. I mean, the reality is, you know, like this week's a good example. I mean, we clipped two cars for one for the DRA series and another one for the another ASA car. You know, we've run the dyno 3-4 times this week. At multiple hours, which it all just brings cash to the door. It's all resources that we have here for the race team, and it's all paid for, and might as well, you know, make a little money with it, help support the program.
Yeah, I was telling Jack the history about you and the ASA and stuff. You brought up the budget, and it only pays half the budget, but isn't the budget a little better now compared to the OASA? That's one of the things I mentioned to you when we did the pre-production for this show, that I wanted to get into the differences between the old ASA and the new ASA. And do you like the new ASA with the crate motor and the tire rule and everything that they're doing? Does it keep the budget down compared to when it was the old ASA?
Well, I mean, I guess you got to talk in relative numbers. Relatively, yes, it does. Had it not been for the crate motor, I don't think we could be involved in this level of racing. When they originally came out with the LS1, I mean, I was all against it and didn't think it was a smart way to go. But, I mean, all I could tell somebody is race with it 1 year and then tell me what you think.
Right.
Because, you took your motor cost right out of it. Any team that can afford to buy a motor, which, you know, if you're racing one of these things, the cost of a motor is negligible. Any team can have what the highest dollar team out there's got.
Right,
and
right. Oh, okay.
That
yeah.
was always the real tough thing when we were running the 9-to-1s. I mean, if you didn't spend 40 to 50 grand on a real good motor and then have a motor program to go along with it, you couldn't compete.
Right.
In that respect, yeah. The thing that has really made it tough over the last few years, and really, had it not been for Ron Varney and what he's done with the program, I don't know if we'd be racing either. The cost of gasoline. I mean, that used to be a line item on the budget, probably 8 or 9 down. It's now number 2.
Okay.
You know, we're spending more on gasoline than we are on motors, if you could believe that.
Wow.
Just the fuel for the race car, the hauler, and, you know, usually there's at least one personal vehicle that we cover the fuel on to get the whole team to every event. I mean, it's not hard to spend, you know, 25 to 30 grand on fuel if you're running as many races as we are.
Right, right.
That's,
do you have a question, Jack?
That, well, I was just, you know, pondering the, it is absolutely amazing how much the gasoline is just, it's eaten up, not just at the guys who race, like, say, in a statewide level. Even those guys these days are hurting because of the gasoline.
Yeah, and what it's done is it's driven up the cost of everything else. Your steel cost, you know, and we build, you know, a lot of chassis and custom fabrication. I mean, our steel costs have tripled over the last 4 years.
Yeah. So tell us about this last weekend. It was the Great Lakes 100, and you tell us about how this weekend shook out up in Michigan. And
it was really good and a little bit tough. the race we had early up at 60 with Sanders. I mean, we raced real well. We ran side to side for a lot of laps. Really put on a real good show. The car was good. That helped us tremendously. I mean, early on, the car was really good on the outside, and we basically migrated up there throughout the race, and everything went real well until we started getting all those cautions, and on the couple of restarts, we made real good starts and got off the corner real good and was able to pull away from Brian when Brian was behind us, and then up till the last restart with him. I'm not sure whether I just got a little gun shy or what I did, but I dropped my line down just a little bit entering one just to protect the bottom, just because I've been real close on two other races where let somebody get a nose under us, and then we had trouble at the end. I did that, and it enabled Brian to get a nose on us down the backstretch, and he made his move and got his nose in there, and did what he should. I mean, he did a real good job. Made a real clean pass on us. On the following lap, Trent Schneider got under us, because we were pinned on the outside there at that point, and going down the front stretch, he kind of pinched us real close to the wall at start-finish line. And, we touched there. And as we got toward the end of the straightaway, he closed it up even more. And as soon as I saw him pivot around his left rear because we touched, I just turned left because I wasn't going to go to the wall with him. I mean, he was already on his way to go to the wall at that point, so... to protect ourselves, we just turned left, and probably made his wreck worse, but he was going to be wrecked regardless.
I also heard, I didn't mean to interrupt, but
he had
a little tussle with Trent Schneider.
Oh, that's what I was just talking.
That's what he was talking about there, Trent.
Schneider. Okay.
Yeah, at the end there, Ron felt like wrecked him intentionally, and I mean that wasn't the case, but we just took our lumps and went to the tail. One thing about Ron, I gotta say he's been real fair with us all year. Sometimes you're on the losing end and sometimes you're on the winning end, and you just gotta go with what he feels and finish your race out.
So you basically had a top three, top five finish going. You ended up, 15th or 13th?
13th, I believe.
Yeah, 13th. And Trent Schneider, who's also up there in the points, that young man we'll have on later today and in the show, and he finished 22nd. So the winner was Brian Campbell all the way around in that deal.
Yeah, no doubt. And, really what it did is, it's going to make a hell of a showdown for the next few races for the championship because it's put the point where everybody's within a couple points of one another. So,
that's right.
I mean, really, if anybody has a couple of good races, they, you know, they're going to win this thing. Or if they have one bad race, they're not. So, you know, it's going to be one heck of a competitive end of the year here.
Yeah. So now that was it. That was at Dixie.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and Dixie Motor Speedway, and then you went to. You went to a rainout, didn't you?
Basically, it was unfortunate because, you know, we worked hard on it all practice long, and, you know, we knew we had a pretty decent car because we had never put on new tires, and we were, you know, always, you know, top two or three cars throughout practice. And then when we went to qualify, I come up over the hill and went to just gas a little bit to get some heat in the tires, and coming down the hill, it was coming around, and it was like, well, there's nothing I'm going to do now. I just gassed it some more and did a 360, and then went to qualify. And that definitely wasn't intentional, that's for sure. But you
wanted to get some heat in the tires, didn't you?
Yeah, I guess. But you know, I came in and I thought it was a decent lap, but you know, both laps I ended up too high on the racetrack because, you know, I think the rears gripped, but the front did it. They never really came in. And I come in, and they said, oh, you just set fast time and broke track record. I was like, really? You know,
well,
it was decent, but, you know, not that decent.
That's the way it usually is, Peter, when you think you have a really crappy lap is when you really go fast, and when you think you're flying, you're overdriving the car, and you go slow.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of truth to that, especially with these cars, because you don't have a ton of horsepower to really throw a car around. And, you know, just being smooth with them counts for an awful lot.
Yeah.
Well, now, that's what we've been talking about, the ASA Late Model Series, the North Division. You're also running fifth in points in the Challenge Division with the big guns. And you and Eddie Hoffman are doing battle again with some youngsters.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And they got some youngsters with even more money there. So, you know, they it makes life a little bit easier when you can buy a lot of it. And, you know, I mean, not to say you don't got to work hard for it to run up front, but it's really a tough series. You know, we've, as of late, had some really good runs there. I mean, we had a third at Bristol, and that was a day that we, you know, really the whole first day of practice we struggled, and, you know, just everything we threw at it just really didn't make any gains on it. And, you know, we just kept working on it. And, you know, finally the last practice before qualifying, we got it where it felt decent, and we, you know, made a small change on a bar, and then we, you know, we just went through a real big change with a bar on it, not knowing what we would have. And qualified 12th with it, and then in the race, you know, just had a really good race and went forward all day with it, and you know, pulled the podium out of it, running third. So, you know, my hat's off to my crew for, you know, not giving up, and you know, we just kept working at it and made something happen.
So, with the way the point structure works, which I'm still haven't quite got that figured out, but with the way the point structure works in the ASA Late Model Series, you have two races left. You got the Milwaukee Mile coming up this weekend, and then you have Five Flags, and that's a bad track too down there in Pensacola, Florida. Is it possible for this points to shake up much with your 94 points out and Hoffman 74 out? And is it possible for a major shift there with the way the point structure works?
It's possible, but it's not probable as far as the who's going to win it. It could be pretty tough to beat Dassault with Howie Latow and their whole program. I mean, it's just a really strong program. Plus, you know, Dassault has really come a long way, and you know, he's really got his act together and doing very well. So, you know, unless they break or fall out, it could be tough to beat them, I think.
Wow, Howie Leto is the crew chief on Dassault's car?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, we talked to him earlier this year.
Real strong program, man.
Yeah.
Somebody's paying some bucks there.
Yeah. money makes the world go round.
I don't think
they're spending as much as everybody thinks, to be honest.
So
Howie runs a pretty tight ship.
But to hire Howie, you got to have a few dollars.
Where'd he come from?
No doubt.
Where does he come from?
I'm sorry, Jack?
Where does he come from? What's the deal with
Wisconsin? Give him a little rundown on who he's crew chief for.
He's crew chief for, you really can go the best of the best of ASA and who's come through there and who's down in Winston Cup.
Tony Raines is one?
Yeah, better than 70% of them came through Howie Lau.
Is that right?
Yeah. Howie would be a good guy to have on the show, Jack.
Yeah, cool.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, I want to appreciate you, Peter, for coming on the show. And we'll probably have you on the show again before the season's out, no doubt.
To be interviewed for winning a championship.
Exactly. That's what I was just going to say. We're going to interview you for winning the North Championship.
Now, are you going to race in at the Music City Motorplex? I had a couple of other, just a quick couple of questions. One is, are you going to race in that event in November in Nashville?
We're planning on it.
Yeah.
I've got a baby due about that time, and my wife's already rescheduled a C-section just to accommodate it so we could, which she wasn't real happy about, but, what do you do? I mean, I can't postpone the race.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, the things you hear out of race.
Name the baby Nashville now.
I tried to name one Hampton, and she didn't go for that.
Well, appreciate it, Peter, and we're going to move on. And like I said, hopefully we can interview you down the road for a championship.
Okay, well, we're looking forward to it.
All right, thanks, Peter, for coming on.
Hey, thanks a lot, man.
All right, Peter Cozzolino, the points leader in the North Division and the fifth in points in the Challenge Division.
Let's talk to Trent.
I'm sorry?
Let's talk to Trent. Let's go take a quick break, come back, talk to Trent.
All right, we'll do it.
All right.
You are listening to the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane. We'll be right back.
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XS Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman. On the web at thebrakeman.com.
Race fans! Columbia Motorsports Park in Lake City would like to invite you to join us on August the 25th as we pay tribute to a true Florida racing legend, Cecil Williams, for the Cecil Williams Memorial Super Late Model 100. Join us as we welcome some of the best late model drivers in the Southeast as they do battle on the fastest half-mile track in Florida. Daryl Shelnut, Timmy Russell, Patrick Williams, Justin Drani, and more will be on hand for the 100-lap feature event, the Cecil Williams Memorial 100. For more information, check out ColumbiaMotorsportsPark.com or call 352-804-0078. That's 352-804-0078. The Cecil Williams Memorial 100 at Columbia Motorsports Park, August the 25th. Columbia Motorsports Park is located just off I-75 on exit 414 on Highway 41 in Lake City, Florida.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today at 5starbodies.com.
Yep.
This is O'Reilly ASA Fastlane.
All right, we're back here with Terry Wall and Jack Smith, the ASA, the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, also brought to you by Port City Racing. And, Terry, I think we're trying to get hooked up with a young man who's making some waves in the ASA North Division, Trent Snyder. Did we get that hooked up?
Yes, sir. Trent Snyder, welcome to the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. So, so you're driving some of these old men crazy, Trent.
Oh, what was that?
I said you're driving some of these old men crazy.
Yeah, sometimes I guess. We just try and do the best we can week in and week out.
That's cool.
You're from Wisconsin?
Actually, I'm from Minnesota. I'm just in Wisconsin right now working on putting our car back together.
Yeah, I hear that Minnesota thing there. It's almost like a Canadian thing.
A trick.
Like an accent? Or
I thought a little bit of, yeah, out and about.
And Trent, you're one of these. You're one of the guys that come out of the legends. Has that been? Do you think driving a legend car has been helpful in making the switch to the big car late models?
I definitely think so, because those are pretty tough cars to wheel around. They got such a short wheelbase and then a stock tire that it really teaches you how to drive a race car.
Yeah,
yeah. The Busch brothers drove dwarf cars out in Las Vegas. That's how they got started.
But
those are real similar.
Yeah, but every time we always talk to the guys who race legends and the guys who come up, they always say that, you know, it's one of the toughest vehicles to drive, and if you can learn to wheel them around, you can just about handle anything.
Yeah, I think that's really true, because I only ran one season of them, but those were definitely really tricky cars and twitchy, and so I think it really helps develop your skills and just make you a better driver.
Now, have you had one win thus far? You won once this year, right?
Yeah, we went on at I-70 June 9th this year. That was the first win we had this year, yeah.
And now, are you a rookie in this in the ASA Late Model Series?
Well, technically, no. We ran two North races last year, but we won one of them last year, too, so that canceled our rookie eligibility for this year.
I see. Success makes you not a rookie. There you go. Gotcha. Okay. So go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, and also you're fourth in points now, too, aren't you, Trent, in the North Division?
Yeah, we just fourth after this last weekend. Didn't go so well. We were having a good run, looking to gain a bunch of points, but it didn't end up working out too good for us.
Well, I think that, you know, obviously Ron Barney thinks a lot of you, because he suggested I talk to you, and I guess he wanted me to talk about the incident between you and Peter Cozzolino, but I don't know if we want to talk about that or not.
Yeah, I don't.
What's
really
your side of the story, Trent?
Oh, I don't know. I don't really have much of a comment on the whole deal. I just think Ron and Sandy Barney are just great people and just run a great series, and we love racing ASA and just the history behind it and everything, and they do such a great job. We couldn't be happier with those guys.
Boy, you know what? You've learned a lot already. Politically correct answers is always the best.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah. Sponsors usually like to hear that, Trent, so that's probably a pretty good thing. So so in the next 6 weeks, the ASA North Division point standings is going to shake out. And you're back there in fourth in points, not that far out. How do you assess your chances?
I think we have excellent chance of winning the points this year. I mean, I got Steve Strasburg from Race Car Help helping me, and he's just putting us in just incredibly good cars all year long. And I'm just pumped for these last four races here. We got Hawkeye Downs coming up here in September 1st, and we won that race last year. And I think we're going to be real strong again this year. Hopefully we can repeat that. And then we go to Grundy, which got rained out earlier this year, which is a track that Steve's got some experience at. So I think we'll be real good there. And then I-70 at the end of September, which we won earlier this year. So I've got high hopes for that. And then La Crosse, which has always been a good track for us. And we ran really good last year there in the ASA race too. So really looking forward to this final stretch in the ASA series.
Are you going to run any challenge races also, Trent?
Well, we were originally planning on running at Milwaukee this weekend, but that's not going to happen anymore because still working on putting the car back together and nowhere near ready for this weekend.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, if you, Terry, I was just looking on, they have a poll on the ASA late model North Division website. And 60% of the people who come on there and post votes, 60% of the people have put Trent Snyder in the lead. So Peter Cozzolino got 33%. And so those are the two favorites among the fans, at least the people who like to push buttons on websites.
Okay. Well, yeah, I got to thank all the fans of ASA. They're all great. And glad they think that we got a good shot at winning this thing.
Yeah, who helps you get out to the track? Who are the major sponsors, Trent, that work with you with your team?
Well, I got Mille Lacs Unclaimed Freight featuring Ice Castle Fish Houses, and I got Donlinger Chevrolet out of Brainerd, Minnesota. They've been helping us out a bunch. And I got Gene Ross Eyewear and Shannon's Auto Body, National Fleet Graphics, Aggressive Hydraulics. And I got Performance Concepts out of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, the engine builder, and they've been just super awesome and build just incredible engines. So got to throw a shout-out to them. And then I got pretty much my dad, who's been a huge part. We haven't got tons of sponsorship money, so I know he's had to contribute quite a bit. So I really got to thank my dad. I wouldn't be able to be doing this at all without him. So
how old are you, Trent?
Hi, 23.
23.
Yeah, kind of like an old man, it feels like, in the ASA series. There's so many young guys, and I don't feel that old, you know?
Yeah.
Why did you and your family, I mean, obviously this was a family decision, I mean, since your dad is a major part of what makes it possible for you to race, why did y'all decide to take the ASA as your way to go instead of some other series around the country that's a traveling series?
Well, I think ASA it still has an awesome reputation and gets more exposure than some other series, you know, maybe. And the Varneys are such great people to work with and deal with, and they just put on great shows, and it was a no-brainer for us to run with the ASA series, I think.
Yeah.
Do you think there'll be even more cars next year, Trent?
I think so. I only see that series growing and getting more and more cars and going to different tracks and just becoming bigger and bigger every year. I think that series is just going to do extremely well.
We think so, too. I think the Crate Motor Deal is one of the reasons why. We were just talking to Peter, and he says if it wasn't for the Crate Motor Deal, they couldn't even run this year. Because, you know, when you run the 9-1 motors, you're talking $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, depending on the motor builder. And with the Crate motors, you're on a level playing field with everybody else. You could have a $1 million operation, but still you got to run the Crate motor.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a great tool that ASA has been using to try and level all the competition and keep everything fair. And it definitely helps, like, some of us, like, we're a super small team on a shoestring budget, so that Crate Motor definitely helps us out a bunch too. And I think it's a super great program, and I'm glad ASA is using it. And that's also why I think the series is going to keep growing, because it is, you know, cost effective.
So your team is actually still trying to procure even better sponsorship.
Oh yeah, I would love to get like a primary sponsor on board. It doesn't look like it has much room because I have tons of stickers everywhere and sponsors and stuff, but just putting on whoever will give me a buck, So, but no, I'd love to secure, some type of sponsorship greater than what we have now, so we could run, say, like the ASA Challenge Division or just more races yet,
Yeah, well, it definitely can happen, because in the South Division, I don't know if you follow the whole deal, but Bo Slocum was complete. I mean, he had really shoestring. I mean, it's about as shoestring as you can get, but he's got a whale a lot of talent, and he won down in Georgia earlier in the year, and that win propelled him to a major. I mean, he is really well sponsored now, and it was as a result of getting, getting into Victory Lane and getting a lot of exposure and getting on a lot of shows like this and other shows and as much publicity as you can. And I mean, now, Terry, do you remember the name of that, who he's sponsored by? Zagby or Zigby or whatever?
Is it Zaxby's?
Yeah, that whole deal. I mean, he got a huge sponsorship out of just getting the exposure from winning. So it's possible that it can happen for you, too.
Yeah, we would definitely love to see something like that happen. And hopefully we can get a couple more wins yet this year and maybe get that championship, and maybe that would help propel us to get something along those lines too. But yeah, that would be, it'd be fun to be able to race and not have to worry about paying for tires and fuel bill and motels when you get home.
So when you're out here on the tracks this year now racing, you got a couple of the guys we mentioned, Peter Cozzolino, of course, and Eddie Hoffman's another one. Do you learn from racing with some of these more guys that have been around a long time?
Yeah, Eddie Hoffman especially. I mean, he's just got probably about more seat time than about anybody else there, and he's just so smooth and he's just fast everywhere. So yeah, he's definitely one that I always look to follow and practice or just learn anything I can from him anytime I'm around him.
Yeah, go ahead, Terry.
No, I just was going to say that with Ron Varney and we're going to have Ron on, Trent, after you, with Ron Varney implementing these rules that's cost effective, maybe next year even it won't be as much to run the ASA as it does now. I mean, to get started in the ASA, sure, there's some initial costs, but to maintain, it's way cheaper. Remember them old 9-to-1 motors and the six cylinders? You had to refurbish them every 3 or 4 races. I'm hearing the crate motors, you can get a lot of laps on them before you have to redo them.
Yeah, we've run all year, and we plan on finishing the year all with the same motor. I mean, we don't even have a backup motor, but we'll probably get it freshened after the season or something. But so far, we're just planning on running it for the rest of the year.
Wow, you haven't redone anything? Well, you can't, really. You got to send it to somewhere to get it redone.
Yeah, the only thing we've changed on it is the valve springs, just because we went to the new 1/6 rockers this year, and that's been a little harder on valve springs. At least that's what I've heard from the motor guys. So
right.
He just tells me to change valve springs, and that's what we do.
Okay. Oh. Well, it's been a pleasure, Trent, to have you on. Make sure you tell all your friends and relatives and your sponsors that it'll be on Karnak. I gave you the website address already,
it's
right?
RealRacingUSA.com.
RealRacingUSA.com, but you can get there through Karnak, too. And have them listen, and I'm sure hopefully at the end of the year we can interview you again, just like we told Peter, maybe for a championship. And we'll have you on again, but I'm sure next year we'll have you on many times.
Well, feel free to call anytime. I love being on the show, and just thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
All right,
Trent. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, Trent. Right,
thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Trent Snyder, 4th in points in the Northern Division, and he's got a win under his belt this year, and another young gun. And like he said, Jack, he's 23 years old, but he feels like an old guy in the series.
Yeah, I was just, I was thinking he was born in the same year my youngest daughter was born, and I'm thinking, wow. I have all girls, so I don't have any boys, but I'm picturing that. I always think of that, and
right.
He's accomplishing quite a lot for his age. There's no doubt. And
okay.
All right.
We're going to take a break. We're going to go behind the green door.
All right. Ron Varney's up next.
You are listening to the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane. We'll be right back.
CarNac.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNac gets it done.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the brake man. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from The Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call The Brakeman. On the web at TheBrakeman.com.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
It's that time again when the world's best super late model racers tackle the high banks of Lakers USA International Speedway in the Michael Holly Chevrolet 200, presented by Catch 47. It's the third and final race of the Guaranteed Concrete Quarter Triple Crown, and with all your favorites expected, the action will be intense. The Catch 47 presents the Michael Holly Chevrolet 200, Saturday night, September 1st. For more information, check online at usaspeedway.com. Tickets are on sale now. Call USA International Speedway at 1-800-984-7223. USA International Speedway. And you thought your weekends go fast.
This is O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane.
All right, Jerry, we're back here with the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane.
Ron Varney, welcome to the ASA Fast Lane Show. The
hey,
O'Reilly
guys.
ASA Fast Lane Show.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on today.
Well, you know, we debated, every week we debate whether we're going to try to call Ron Varney and have him on, and Terry will say, one week he'll say, no, let's wait a few more weeks, and then next week I'll say, let's wait a couple more weeks, see how things shake out. Well, now we figured it was time. We dilly-dallied enough. and, you know, Ron, I got to tell you, the one thing, and Terry will attest to this, everybody that we have on this show, and, you know, we talk to the drivers off the air as well, you know, and you've got to feel good about the kind of support you're getting from these drivers, because they really do like what you and Sandy are doing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, with the response we've gotten in the South this year, it's just been incredible. And you know, the North Series and the Challenge Series, they've always been strong, and the loyalty of the racers, and you know, it is overwhelming at times.
Yeah,
overwhelming as it is, I think, and I talked to you earlier when we were doing the pre-production for the show. I talked to you earlier about you're doing all the right things for the racer. I mean, the cost of the engines, the cost of the electronics, the suspension pieces, the tires, it's just, you're hitting everything, the nail on the head to me. Now, Ron, when you got all this started, and how long has it been, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Well, actually, this is the fifth year.
Fifth year.
Anniversary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, when you got all this started, did you consult with anybody about what you wanted to do or anything, any old drivers, ex-officials, or is this pretty much your whole ball of wax?
Well, I mean, we had the basic idea, and what we did here in Michigan is we invited some of the most respected drivers in the industry into a closed door meeting and said, guys, if you had a rule book that you could design right now, what would you do? And we sat in a room for probably about 4 or 5 hours, and we threw ideas together, and that's really how we came up with the cost savings on shocks and brakes and things like that. And it was really born out of that meeting.
Did you
are you at liberty to say some of a name or two of the drivers that was there?
Well, I mean, we had people like Freddie Campbell was there, and Mark Kortz, who was a local guy there, and you know, I'll be honest with you, some of them slipped my mind, but I mean, we took a cross section of the top drivers in Michigan at that time and asked
right.
them, you know, again, what would they do if they could design a car in a series with a blank sheet of paper, and this is pretty much what we came up with.
Well, you can't get any bigger than Freddie Campbell.
No, I mean, he is, you know, a Michigan Hall of Fame sports driver, and, you know, he's one of the best, and his son Brian is carrying on tradition very, very well.
Right.
Ron, what was your background before you got involved with the ASA? What's a little bit about your background prior to that?
No, I'm a third-generation racer. I started with my grandfather, who was a car owner for a lot of years. He had guys like Benny Parsons drive for him and Harold Fair and a lot of Michigan legends that drove for him back in the day. And then my father and my uncle all drove. So we kind of grew up watching them. And then I started driving, and my brother. And, you know, I became a car owner with my brother driving for me. And, you know, we were racing in a series called the Iceman Series in Michigan and Ohio. And that was kind of on its last leg. And that's kind of where the idea of starting a series came from.
So you've been around this really all your life.
Yeah, I mean, some of my earliest memories are at the Mount Clemens Speedway in Michigan, you know, from the time I was probably 4 or 5 years old.
So now you had mentioned about the South, you know, a couple of times you've referred to the South and the excitement. Is the response been better than what you expected?
It is. You know, we knew the first year was going to be a struggle because everybody was kind of on the sidelines going, yeah, we've heard it all before, but we're going to wait and see. So we knew the first year was going to be a struggle. When we came out of the gate this year and hit 40-plus cars at the first three events, yeah, it far surpassed, you know, every expectation we had.
Yeah.
I hear about guys building cars and going to race next year, you know, even more, and, you know, I just... It you know, that, like I said earlier, that kind of support is sometimes overwhelming to me, that people will come out and embrace what we've got going on because they believe in it.
Yeah, that is we totally understand that. You know, of course, I'm in Florida, you know, and a lot of these drivers from the South, a large percentage of them are coming from Florida. And it's fascinating. One of the things that you see down here is the promoters at the various tracks that run asphalt late models, they've all now have a thing. You can bring in their promotion for their late model races, super late model races, whatever, they all say, you can bring your ASA late model. So, I mean, it's like these guys are promoting your series probably without even realizing they're promoting your series because they're trying to promote their own races. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And you know, and I've talked to several of the tracks down there, and you're right. I mean, they allow ASA crate style cars, and I've said to them, you know, if you just take a deep breath and say, you know, this is where we're going to go to, you know, and this is the rule package we're going to have, they would be successful at it. But you know, sometimes change is a hard thing to swallow. And these guys have been running Biltmotor stuff for so long, they just can't let it go. And, you know, I'm sure they're afraid of the wrath of some of the more popular engine builders down in the Florida area and everything else. But if you believe in it and it works, then you just sometimes you got to bite the bullet and do it.
Exactly.
Some of the more popular engine builders in Florida got the wrath of ASA, too.
Well, yes, they did, and you know, I mean, I think we set the precedent very early on that when we say don't mess with these motors or pay the price if you do. You know, we bounced a very well-known driver out of the series, and you know, I've been getting threatened to be sued and everything else, but I'm going to stick to my guns and say, you know, if I catch you, you're done for good. It's the death penalty.
And that's
you have it in black and white, don't you?
Absolutely.
Well, and that's the thing that the drivers I talk to, and this has really be way beyond the ASA, just the race car drivers in general. One of the things I hear more and more and more all the time is they really want, at any level of racing, they want tough tech because they know that it levels the playing field. And with money being harder and harder to get to keep this game going, they really do respect that. And I think that's a big part of your success, too.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you see teams like Rob Partlow, who won our first South Series race down at Bronson. I mean, here's a guy that you know, comes week in and week out and works during the week to support his racing habit, and he comes out against all the money teams and everything else and wins the first event. I mean, that's what, you know, racing in a level series or level playing field can do for you.
Yeah.
I mean, a guy like Colt James in the Challenge Series, who you know, works all week long just so he can go racing, is second in points in our Challenge division.
Well, that's what Peter Cozzolino was saying, that if you got $1 million rig and three or four backup motors and three cars, a guy with one car, one motor can compete because they got the exact same motor and exact same car.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, you know, we've worked very hard to make sure that our rules package and our engine packages are equal to allow anybody to come out and race. And it doesn't matter if you've got $1,000 or $1 million, you know, going on the racetrack that you've got the exact same thing as the guy that starts next to you. And that's a huge thing. It's a huge mental thing for these drivers.
Right.
Well, you have...
The only thing the money can buy now is a high-dollar crew chief and a high-dollar rig.
Yeah, and that's true. And you know, and I had a saying 5 years ago when I did this, I can't take these guys' wallets away from them, but I can tell them what they can spend, you know, on certain parts and pieces. And you know, it's true. I can't stop a millionaire from going out and having three cars or having five motors, but those three cars and those three motors are the exact same thing as the other guy who's got one car and one motor. It's all the same stuff.
It's almost like the Alan Kulicki syndrome. Alan Kulicki in 1985 went to NASCAR and run with one car and two motors. And won Rookie of the Year.
Right.
And that'll never be done again, of course, but that's what I like about your series, Ron. You can have another Alan Kulicki.
Absolutely. And, you know, the driver developmental guys that I talk to all the time, you know, I pose the question to them, what is it about our series that makes you guys look at drivers in our series? And he said, look, you know, if a guy can come out and compete with you guys on a weekly basis and run in the top five, not even so much win, but just, you know, run in the top five consistently, we know he must be a pretty good driver because everybody else in the series has got the exact same thing. So he said, you know, it really makes the cream of the crop of drivers rise to the top, and your series separates that out better than any other one in the country.
And the qualifying times, you know, attest to that. I mean, they're very tight. And in the North right now, we were just talking to the two guys, Trent Snyder and Peter Cozzolino, and both of those guys are in the top five in points. And in the next 5 or 6 weeks, there's any one of a half a dozen guys who could win the Northern Division Championship, and the same thing is true in the South.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you don't see, you know, for lack of a better term, a runaway championship like, let's say, in the Busch Series, where you got a guy who's got a 700-point lead, and you know, you're three quarters of the way through the season, and you know that championship's wrapped up already. Ours will more than likely go down to the last race and probably be in battling for positions to figure out who's going to end up winning the championship, and that's what creates the buzz and the excitement for the race fans.
So have you already started working on next year?
Absolutely, yes.
Isn't there a question you wanted to bring up, Ron, about TV?
Well, yeah, I think I was actually leading into that, but I was wondering, like, when we were talking with Butch Miller last week, we couldn't get it out of him, but He said that you were working on some pretty big things for next year.
Yeah, we are. I think that you're going to see TV in some way, shape, or form, whether it's, all the races, whether it's, half of the season, or whether it's just two or three big shows. I think you're going to see that. We've got several big-name sponsors on the line. We could even see a rebranding of the ASA series into, XYZ, ASA late model series. So, I mean, we've got a lot of big things on the horizon. We've got another manufacturer stepping up to the game. We'll get a foreign nameplate in there. So, I mean, there's a lot of interesting things going on behind the scenes right now. And we're working on some big name tracks. We added Bristol this year, and I think you'll see another very, very big short track name in the series for next year.
Martinsville, maybe.
Maybe. I mean, it's definitely a place that's on the radar, and we've had some preliminary talks with them, and I think that's a pretty good possibility.
Yeah, they have.
Ron, that foreign nameplate ain't Mercedes, is it?
Not Mercedes.
Well, Martinsville would be great because they already have they have that huge late model stock race up there at the end of the year, and that draws tons of cars. It's a great place there.
Well, absolutely. I mean, to be honest with you, I was a little disappointed on the car count at Bristol. I'm not really sure what happened there. I mean, we ran it on a bias ply tire. I don't know if it was just a lot of people had fear of the unknown, or they didn't want to take a chance on wrecking their stuff because they're in a point in the north or south. I'm not really sure what it was and why they didn't come, but I got to believe it. If we do sign that long-term contract with Bristol, like we're hoping to, that we can grow the car count and get it to where they're going to be happy with it, and we're going to be happy with it.
Yeah.
Well, I think, Ron, it's a combination of everything you said, because one of the things that we emphasized when we were doing shows about Bristol, Corey Schultz, the five-star. He was looking forward to it because he figured he'd sell a lot of body parts at the end of the day, But I think that the fear of the unknown and also just being nervous about wrecking their car, I think he hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, and I think really after running as clean a race as we did up there at Bristol, I think everybody's going to take a step back and say, wow, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I mean, if you throw out the wheel failures that we had, we really only had one wreck during the whole race, and really it just a couple cars got smashed up, but other than that, there really wasn't a whole lot of anything there.
It was sure an exciting ending.
Absolutely. I mean, you hate it for the fact of Sean Murphy, had to lose one like that, but boy, it goes right back to the old saying: is the race isn't over till you take the checkered flag.
That's the truth. That's absolutely the truth. And
I felt bad for Butch, for being the crew chief on that deal, and obviously I felt bad for Sean Murphy losing one, within 300, feet of the finish line. But like you said, it definitely makes for a good finish, and that's racing sometimes.
Oh yeah.
Ron, you one of the things you're obviously got your fingers on a lot of pulses around the country. How much does the current state of the economy, is it affecting stock car racing in terms of drivers and teams putting stuff together?
Honestly, I don't think as much it's affecting the teams as much as it's affecting the fan count. I'll be honest with you, we started out the year at some of our shows of $15 to $18 tickets, and we would get a decent crowd, and about midway through the season, I said, what we're going to do? We're going to run a $10 ticket for all these races that we're doing from an ASA late model standpoint. And we've seen an absolute increase in the amount of people. And, people come up to us and say, that show is worth way more than $10. And I said, yeah, but if I were to price it at $18, would you have been here to see it? And they're like, no. I said, well, if I can sell it at $10 and I can fill the grandstands, then I'll do that just to have everybody come out and see what we're all about and see what we're doing.
So the tickets are
with you there. I think there was a track in Orlando, Jack, wasn't there, that gave away 17,000 tickets?
Orlando Speed World at Orlando. It's actually not in Orlando. It's way out east Bithlow outside of Orlando, but they have traditionally race on Friday, and they have a horrendous time trying to get people to come in there. Great racetrack, and get lots of drivers, and they gave out 17,000 tickets a couple of weeks ago, pulled in about 3,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, I mean, you know, it goes back to the old saying of what's the most expensive seat in the house? It's the empty one.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I would rather you know, give somebody a ticket for a dollar or give them a ticket for free just to fill that seat, so that people can come in and get back to short track racing. I mean, there's honestly, you know, one thing that I have against TV is I think there's too much TV racing going on, and it's easier to sit at home in your Lazy Boy and flick the channel back and forth watching TV and whatever else. And, you know, we just need to somehow re-engage the fans to come back out and support local racing.
Well, that is Don Nerone. Don Nerone absolutely subscribes to that theory. He doesn't like TV at all. He'll do it, but he doesn't. He always says exactly the same thing. He's been saying that for a long time. I know when I promoted a race televised, the Florida Governor's Cup. Terry and I actually worked together on this project 10 years ago, got the Florida Governor's Cup televised, the first time it had ever been done in 30 years. And Don wasn't real happy with it. He didn't want us to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's good in a lot of ways, especially from a touring series standpoint, because it gives some teams the opportunity to try to go out and sell sponsorship. But in the grand scheme of things, if the fans feel they can sit home and watch it instead of going out to the races, you know, if it looks cloudy or if it's a really hot day, you know, why do they want to go out and take a chance? They'll just sit and watch it home on tape or a week later or whatever they need to do and not go.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I understand. And another thing that I wanted to bring up about NASCAR doing some of their Saturday night shows, I really feel situations like your series and different things and the local short track, it really hurts the local people and the local series when they run the NASCAR races on Saturday night.
Well, and, we've done enough surveys, enough studies to know for a fact that it does hurt the crowd. You know, whether NASCAR says that they're friends of short track racing or whatever, how can you be when you're cutting the throat of the short track racers? I mean, if you look down their May schedule, every one of the races is on a Saturday night. Well, that's the heart of, especially up here in the north, that's the heart of when everybody's, you know, opening their season. And, you know, the first 4 weeks of their season, they've got to go right up against, you know, a cup race on TV on Saturday night.
Well, it's to say it doesn't affect it would be absurd. I mean, if the NFL started playing football games on Friday night, high school attendances at high school games would drop like a rock. I mean,
for them to bury their head in the sand and say, oh, yeah, we're proponents of short track racing and everything else, you know, to just go and do that is just, it's just spitting in the face of these track owners that are trying to make a living and are cultivating their next stars.
Yeah, well, that's exactly. That's the way we've always seen it, too.
To pick out certain sponsors and try to steal them away from people like you and different places either.
Oh, I mean, you know, we've gotten through some inside sources that, you know, they've done some of that cherry picking, some sponsors that we've had on the line by offering them, you know, a heck of a lot more than we can offer them. You know, while we can't necessarily prove that, we know it goes on, and, you know, it's unfortunate that they feel that they, you know, they have to do that, squeeze every penny for themselves and not give us bottom feeders a little bit, but, I mean, that's the nature of the beast. That's business, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, hopefully that'll change one of these days with a different attitude. And but meanwhile, what are you looking forward to now? What's the big thing on your plate right now?
Well, I mean, we're getting ready to head out to Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Mile here this weekend, which is always a huge, traditionally big race for ASA. I mean, it has been for a lot of years, and you know, we get to run with the ARCA boys, and we have some teams that. That are looking for new drivers, maybe move them up into ARCA and get them in a different driver developmental program. So that's always a big thing. And then we've got our our Georgia doubles weekend coming up, which that ended up actually turning into a pretty big weekend for us with,
with
rain and smoke out there in at South Georgia Motorsports Park earlier in the year. So we got a Friday and a Saturday race at South Georgia and then up at Benoia Speedway. So that should be pretty big.
Is your schedule going to be pretty much the same next year, Ron, as it is this year? Are you got new venues or you got more races? What are you looking at for next year?
Well, I would say that you'll probably see 80% to 90% return on all the races you got this year. We may end up dropping a couple events that just didn't either work for us logistically or something else. And then obviously if we add on a place like Martinsville or something like that, you know, those are going to be new add-on dates. You know, with the Music City Motorplex being up in the air the way it is, that's always a question mark on the schedule. And you know, we've been working on a contingency plan. If the All-American 400 should not happen next year, you may see a very big-name racetrack replace that All-American 400 weekend. So,
all right.
Are you going to do any me and Jack have talked to a lot of drivers and our own opinions that ASA is a short track series.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm even, you know, the Milwaukee Mile, sure, that's a traditional track, and A.J. Foyt's been there, and the Unsers and everybody. But, Ron, in just my opinion as a reporter, I would really love to see the ASA stay in a short track series. You're not looking to do any more like mile or above tracks, are you? Or are you pretty much?
You're not going to Talladega next week, right?
No, Talladega, no.
Oh no, I mean, you know, we are a short track series, and we'll always remain a short track series. You know, I believe that, you know, Milwaukee's probably going to be the biggest place you ever see us on, and you know, anybody that's familiar with Milwaukee knows it's really just a short track on steroids. They've stretched out a little bit, but you know, it's big and flat, and you know, it's not got that scary speed to it, and you know, I mean, you know, we're going faster at places like Iowa Speedway and Bristol, you know. So, you know, I don't foresee us now going to places like Kentucky Speedway or anything like that. You know, although we've had some offers to do that, I just think that at this point in time, you know, we're going to stay with our roots and what ASA was started out as, and that's, you know, primarily, you know, the short tracks around the country.
There you go.
That's good.
Do you feel better now, Terry?
Yes, I feel better.
All right, good. Thank you.
Being a traditionalist.
Ron, thank you very, very much for spending some time with us here. You know, it's Terry has not been to any of the races yet. We were still trying to hook him up, but you know, I've been to three or four of them. I've been to four races, and it's always fun. And the guys, these youngsters, we've been interviewing. We've probably interviewed 30 or 40 of these guys, and it's amazing. The kids are they're almost all of them are very well spoken, and they do a good job not only representing themselves but representing your series. And I think all around you got a good package going, man.
Well, we appreciate it, and we'll get Terry out to one of these races and really make him a believer in what we're doing.
There you go.
In my opinion, it's some of the best racing out there. So,
if I had a little gas money, I'd go to Milwaukee this week.
We'll see what we can do. Thanks a lot, Ron.
Thanks, Ron.
Okay, guys, thank you very much.
We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, Forrest, and tell her that she got saved this time by you for being on the radio.
Okay, guys.
All right. Thanks,
anytime.
Ron.
Anytime. All right, bye-bye. Anytime, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, there you have it.
Ron Varney.
I told you we were going behind the green door.
Yeah. Well, we got some good info, huh? Got some scoops.
Yeah, you know, people who don't know about that green door thing, that comes from a long time ago. It's kind of like behind the curtain where the Wizard of Oz hangs out.
Well, the way Ron has done this series this year, he could be the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, but, you know, he's he really definitely does have, you know, when he was talking about the promoters, you know, how the problems that they have with Saturday nights and also, you know, so he just really nails it. I mean, you know, they know they need to change a lot of things, and you know, like this motor deal he's talking about, and they know they need to do it, but you know, he put it right on the line. There are some engine builders that some of the promoters don't really want to make mad, you know. I mean, and these things are all true. And he just kind of lays it on the line, not with any attitude or
no.
He just lays it on the line.
As a matter of fact.
That's a matter of fact.
You know what? If you ever want to get Ron and Barney fired up, start talking about NASCAR.
I could tell.
Woo!
Yeah.
You get fired up or what?
Yeah. Well, that's and that's good.
I don't blame him.
That's good. I mean, it.
I don't blame him a bit.
You can't say there's just. It would be ludicrous to say it doesn't affect it. I mean.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, it obviously affects it. You can get tracks have decided. Some of them have gotten smart and decided to work around it, but it affects them because they have to change their normal game plan to deal with it, and it certainly is not supporting it. So I don't see how you can make any other argument. But we talked to Peter Cozzolino.
Right.
Trent Snyder.
Yep.
Peter wanted to talk. He was okay with talking about the little incident that occurred this past weekend in the North Division.
Trent was politically correct when we talked about it.
Which is a good thing because, see, the older veteran can say those kinds of things, and it's okay. The youngsters need to mind their P's and Q's. And,
Yeah,
that's right.
But
keep their collars starched. And
and Ron Varney was an excellent interview, and I'm sure we'll have him on again not too distant future.
All right. I don't know what we're going to do with the ASA Fastlane next week. We know we'll be the O'Reilly ASA Fastlane. We'll be back next Wednesday, and we'll have something exciting, no doubt. Well, we'll have one thing we know for sure is we will have – results, interviews, and updates from the Challenge Division race up at the Milwaukee Mile.
All right.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it.
See ya.
All right. See ya.
You've been listening to the O'Reilly ASA Fastlane. We'll see you next time. Same time, same channel. Stay.